This is Harry Murray. We're going to do a couple podcasts today for you. This is July the 22nd, and these are the conditions that we're finding at this time. As the season progresses and the tactics, fly patterns change, I'll come back and talk more about that. The first thing I want to talk about today are the stock trout streams. These streams naturally are getting warmer as the season progresses. As a result of the warmer streams, these fish are moving into the area immediately below the riffles to take advantage of this oxygen-rich water. These areas hold terrific populations of nymphs. So what we're doing is fishing these upstream dead drift with nymph patterns such as the Murray's Dark Stonefly Nymph, Murray's Yellow Stonefly Nymph, and the Mr. Rapidan Brown Soft Tackle. Using all these from, say, size 16 up to size 12. What I usually do on these is start about 100 feet downstream from the riffle, turn and fish upstream with a dead drift pat technique. Now, that means casting upstream and letting them drift back down naturally. The problem here is you got to watch about the strikes because they can pick them up and spit them out, and you don't even know they've been there. To help on this, I use the leader we're calling the Murray's Trout Nymph Leader, which has a special taper and it also has a SA indicator built into it. And I fish these from below that, 100 feet below it, all the way up to the riffle, fanning my cast from straight up maybe to 20 degrees on each side. And I cover all the water as I go. Get up to the riffle, I get out and head on upstream to another riffle. This is very effective, and actually this technique will be effective all the way into the fall. All right, now let's talk about the mountain trout streams. Often by this time of the year, the streams are getting exceptionally low. However, we've had enough rain in the last month that these streams have held up well. Now, I'm talking about the small mountain streams along the West Virginia line, below Blue Ridge Parkway, below the Skyland Drive, all of those type streams that have our wild brook trout in them. Now, there are two problems that we're confronted with at this time of the year. For one, the trout are very, very wary. This means we've got to use a cautious approach. The natural hatching aquatic insects are pretty much over, so we got to change our food. All right, in order to keep from spooking these guys, I use just the most cautious approach I can use, often going to my hands and knees, and I never false cast over the pool. I look out there at the pool that I'm about to fish. If I see I need a longer cast, I lengthen the line to the side of the pool, way out of his line of sight. Now, when I'm going to make my presentation cast, I shoot that right up to where I suspect I can get a good drift. Let that drift back naturally to him. Now, in order to prevent him from seeing the line, the leader, I like to try to give myself an up and across angle. That means he isn't going to see a whole lot of my line or a leader. Now, with these major hatches being over, we're switching over to flies that often are just called searching pattern, the Royal Wolf, the Elk Hair Caddis, and all that. The only problem here, not only are you and I doing it, but everybody and his little brother's doing it. So consequently, these trout in these wild mountain streams have seen so many of these searching patterns that they'll come up and look at it and refuse it and say, stick it in your ear. So I've developed a whole series of flies I call the Change of Pace series. Now, my goal here was twofold. First, I wanted to develop an artificial dry fly that would reproduce the natural foods that these trout are seeing. My second goal was to develop flies that show the trout a different silhouette and light pattern on the surface of the stream than they're accustomed to seeing. Now, some of these new patterns are the Murray's Moth, Murray's Yellow Jacket, the Oakworm, the Horsefly, the Housefly, and we feature all these in size 14 and 16. Take advantage of this good water level we're having now, because we don't really know what the condition is going to be like a month from now. But right now, those patterns are all effective. Oh, and I fish all these on 6X and 7X. All right, let's talk about smallmouth bass. Smallmouth, both on the north and south fork of the Shenandoah River, fishing's just been terrific. During the day, I like to fish some of the poppers. I like the blue popper, the damsel popper, chartreuse Shenandoah popper, all those. I like all those in a six. Now, during the middle of the day, I fish these tight along the shaded banks where the water's 3 to 5 feet deep over cobblestone bottoms. Now, the last 2 hours of daylight, I always head for the tails of the pools. I enter at the riffle, turn, wade, and fish upstream over water that's usually in the 2 to 4 foot deep range. And since these streams also are getting clear, I'm using a very, very cautious approach on doing this. So that's one tactic that's effective now. Also, I've just got off the river, and we noticed that there are a tremendous number of Dobson flies laying their eggs along the stream in these trees that hang out over the stream. Look like little cotton candy daubed up under there. This means the 3-year-old large Helger mites are very active in the stream. You can go in below these riffles with a Murray's heavy Helger mite and a size 4 and fish these either upstream dead drift or down and across with a real slow, deep action. You can catch a lot of fish doing that. Now, several evenings ago, Jeff and I floated the river. Had the best fishing on the North Fork I've had in probably 5 years. Now, most of these bass took the Shanks White Streamer and the Murray's Olive Marauder. Both of these I was using in a size 6. All right, but let me tell you what the technique I was using. What I do, I'm trying to make these streamers act like minnows that are getting away from a bass that's back there chasing. What I'll do with those two streamers is cast them tight in against the shaded bank, strip them out slowly in about 10 feet with a strip, pause, strip type action. Now, when they get out about 10 feet off the bank, I initiate a slow roll cast pickup. This brings the streamers up to within a foot or two of the surface of the water, but I do not pick them up. Slow roll cast pickup. Just bring them up close to the surface. When they get up at that point, often there'll be some bass chasing them. However, in order to tempt those guys to grab my streamers, rather than pick that fly up off the water, I'll swing the rod tip back and forth to the right or left. This makes a streamer act like a swimming minnow trying to evade them, sort of trying to escape the pursuing bass. I caught a great number of bass with this method the other evening when they wouldn't take a standard retrieve. This is very, very effective in water that's either in a slow current or a medium current, not real, real fast current. I didn't do much with it, but a slow current or a medium current is where I did best with this in water that was around 3 to 5 feet deep. Try this escaping streamer technique and see what you think. I was very impressed with it the other evening. If you have any questions on any of this, just call me at the Fly Shop in Edinburgh at 540-984-4212. Thank you very much. This is Harry Murray.